The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Beshalach. And in Beshalach, tells of the going out of Egypt, Yitzis Mitzrayim, and the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, and the Shira, the song that Moshe and Israel sang as they went through the sea. For the past number of years, I've been giving Shurim on the Shira, taking a few psukim each time. So I want to continue with that this evening. And those who are interested in the past Shurim on this, they're on tape. So we will continue where we're up to. I think this would be the fourth shir in the series. We're up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. This evening I want to speak about Pasuk Yud Aleph and Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Aleph states, Mi chomocha ba'elim Hashem, who is like you so strong, O God? Mi chomocha nedor makodesh, who is like you who is so glorious in the sanctity? Nora sihilais eise fele. Your praises are awesome. Your praises are fearful. Ose fele. And you do wonders. So this is one of the statements, one of the phrases that Moshe sang. Micha mocha ba'ilim Hashem. Who is like you, Hashem, who is so strong? Micha mocha nedor ba'kodesh. And who is like you that is so mighty in sanctity? Nora sihilais eise fele. Your praises are awesome and fearful, and you execute wonders. The simple meaning of Bo'elim Hashem, Rashi brings, that's from the word El, Eli Ha'aretz, which means exceedingly strong. Actually, we have that word in a few psukim, just a little further, where it states, "Ozni valu alafei adaim elei ma'av yachazei morad elei ma'av," which means very strong. Who is like you, who is so strong? This is the simple meaning. The Gemara in Gittin and the Nun Vav Amud Beis brings another meaning to the word. The Gemara brings that during the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash, when Titus Arosho, he was the king of the Romans, and he entered the Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash. Not only did he destroy Yerushalayim, but he went and he was Megadif, the Gemara says. Titus Arosho Shechiref V'Gidif Klapi Malo. He Cholila cursed and insulted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma also, what did he do? Tof HaZeine B'Yodai. He took a harlot V'Nichnas LeBeis Kodesh HaKadoshim and went into the most sanctified places of the Beis Hamikdash, v'hitzi a Sefer Torah, and he spread out there a Sefer Torah, v'ovar avoha oleho aveira, and there he committed an aveira, a sin, v'notel sayef, and he took his sword, v'gider es apreches, and he, with his sword, he cut down the apreches, the curtains, which divided the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the two most holy places. So this was Chirev Begidev. He went and he insulted and cursed and shamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara brings Abachanan, the Gemara brings Shatosha Mea Niutse Vigidufe Shalesa Rosha Vishesik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard the insults and the curses of this Rosha, of this wicked person, V'sheisek, and he remained silent. The Beit Bishbul Tano. So this is what we learned in the Braisha. Micho moicho ba'elim Hashem. Who is like you? From the word elim, mikomecha ba'alomin. The word elim also comes from the word ilim, to be silent. Who is like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that can remain silent in the presence of these Rishoyim that curse you and insult you? This is a tremendous strength, that someone can be insulted and he remains silent. So this is another meaning to this, which Moshe sang out. Here the Egyptians and Pare, they cursed Hashem. Pare said, "Mi Hashem, who is this God that I should listen to his voice?" And they cursed Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, remained silent. He didn't immediately destroy them. He took his time. He destroyed when he wanted to. Miko mecho ba'ilim Hashem. So who is like you, alomim, that remains silent, which is an enormous show of strength. So that's also included in the meaning of this posuk. Actually, the Chazal bring that this is a great midah, a very great quality. One of the midas that a Talmud Chochem has to have, someone who's great in Torah, has to have this quality, where he's shemeya her poson ve'in mishimin, where they have the ability to listen to insults and not return them. This is an ability, and this is a great inner strength. And this inner strength we see from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Many years ago, I believe. If I recall correctly, it was in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim of Reb Chaim Volozhiner that writes even further. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who gives the keach, the energy, and the life, and the panosa to people. You have Rishoy, wicked people, that take all of this energy and take this life, and they use it against him. Like we see from Petrus HaRosho, or like we see from Parai. So you should cut them off immediately. You shouldn't give them any more life. Yeah, they're taking the life and they're taking his energy and they're using it against him. And still he continues to give. He gives to the whole world and he gives to them also. So this is included in Miko Meicho Ba'ilim Hashem. Who has this strength? Who would go so far? If a father was giving money to a son and the son, older son, turned against the father. So the father would keep sending him money. He wouldn't send him a check every month. He'd cut him off immediately. Still, we see that the Rishoyim continue to walk along. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them life, and he gives them opportunity, and he gives them opportunity to do tshuva. So, Mi Kamecha Ba'elim Hashem, who is like you, Hashem, that is so strong, and who is you, like Hashem, that can remain silent in front of their abuses? This is the interpretation of the pasuk. This is very relevant. All of this is relevant to what's going on today. In fact, is the whole parshas Shabbos. I gave a shir on the Esther Makis, on the 10 plagues, which we had learned in parshas in last week's parsha. And you see it in the shir. It states that Hashem Ish Milchama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a man of war, and we see the way he makes war. But this is relevant today, where we see the same thing going on. You can have a person, a tyrant, who gives insults and curses the God of Israel and abuses, and still HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for his time. So he waits for his time to react. Otherwise he remains silent. It's similar that Israel answered. They said that we will react and we will retaliate. But we're not going to do this out of emotion. He's trying to involve us in the war. He's trying to bring us in. And everybody's angry. And they say that we should react immediately. So the high command of Israel said, no. See, we will react. We want to react. Right? Not merely out of anger, out of emotion. Now that takes the strength. That takes the strength. This is what we're speaking about. Nether Rakodish. Then it states, who is so wonderful, who is so glorious in his sanctity. The Teirah Tamima brings from the Yishalmi in Brochus, Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Neireh Ve'Adir B'Kedusha. In this pasuk it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Adir, Nedor, he is wonderful, and Nora, and he is fearful. But in what is he wonderful, and in what is he fearful? B'Kedusha, in his sanctity. So the Yishalmi states, Mikomocho Nedor Bakodesh. So this means, explains, not like a boss of a dog. A human being, if you're going to say that he's Nedor, he's wonderful and mighty, or if you're going to say he's Nora, he's fearful and awesome, you are referring to, what are you referring to? You're referring to his deeds, you're referring to his physical strength. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has these qualities not only in his physical strength, but also in his kedusha, in his sanctity. And this is what Meisha was praising. Mikomocha Boilim Hashem, Mikomocha Nedor Makodesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mighty and wonderful in his kedusha, in his sanctity. Nora Sihilois. He is fearful and awesome in his sanctity. And only by Hashem can we say this. This is what the Yishalmi brings out. Now, we'll go a little deeper into this. What does it mean, Nedor Makodesh? Fearful, mighty in his kedusha. The Maral in his Gvuras Hashem, in Perek Mem Zayin, and Daf Kuf Tzadik. He asks, why does it say twice? Mikamocha ba'ilim Hashem, Mikamocha ne'adu ba'kodesh. Who is like you, Hashem, in your strength, and who is like you, Hashem, in your kedusha, in your sanctity? Why does it say this twice? So he says, by a human being, there are some who are very, very strong, and they're capable of withstanding all onslaughts. You cannot conquer them. This means they dig themselves in, and they have enormous defenses. There are some who not only have enormous defenses, but they have enormous offenses also. They can be menatzeach, they can be victorious over others. But there's no one that can be victorious over everyone. There's no one that can be rule everyone. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we find both of these attributes. Firstly, there is no one who can be victorious over him. His defenses are so strong that no one can wage a war with him and be victorious over him. So this is because of his strength. And that's why it states, Mikamecha ba'elim Hashem. Who is as strong as you, Hashem, when no one can be victorious over you? Then from the other aspect we see, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be victorious over everyone. When he goes to war, he will win over everyone. When he rules everyone. Now, how does he have the ability to rule everyone? That is because of his kedusha, because of his sanctity. Why? What does it mean, Kodesh? Kodesh means mufresh umuvda, muflag. Sanctity means something which is separated, something which is above, which is beyond. When something is Kodesh, is sanctified, it means it is above us, it is beyond us. For example, the Beis HaMikdash is sanctified, we have to have a fear and an awe from it, because it is beyond limits. When we refer to Hashem, we refer to Him as HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Why? This is the most accurate description. Because he is someone who is distinguished from us. He is someone who is elevated from us. He is someone who is above and beyond us. This is why our most accurate description of Hashem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He who is sanctified. He is Nivdal. He is Muflag. He is Mufrash. Rashi all the time explains Kodesh in the Chumash is Mufrash, which is beyond us. Now, this means that Hashem is not part of the world. To the contrary, the world is part of Him. Kodesh Baruch Hu is not amongst the creations of the world. The world is amongst the creations of Hashem. And He is above and beyond the world. Therefore, He can rule everything. If there is someone or something which is a part of the world, so it's not possible for Him to rule everything in the world. He's a part of the world Himself. But if someone is beyond the world, then He can rule everything. The Chazal tell us that one of the phrases which Hashem is referred to is Hamokom. He's called Hamokom. Hamokom means the place. It's asked, why is He referred to as Hamokom, the place? She'ein ha'olam mekomo, elahu mekomo shel ha'olam. Because the world is not His place, but rather He is the place of the world. For everyone else, the world is the Mokom. The world is a place, because we all have a place in the world. But by Hashem, the world is not a place for Hashem, but rather Hashem is the place of the world. Therefore, He's referred to as Hamokom, the place. So this gives us a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relation to the world. And this is what is meant, that He is Kodesh. Therefore, He can rule everything. So unlike a human being, that because of his strength, perhaps he can defend himself, but he certainly cannot rule over everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only can defend himself from everything, but he can also rule over everything. So Mi Kamecha Bo'elim Hashem, therefore Mesha is saying this twice, who is like you, Hashem, who is so strong when armies come up against you, and you take the horse and the rider and you cast them into the sea. You defend yourself. And Micho Melcha Nora Bakodesh. And your Kedusha, your sanctity, your elevation is so great that you look down at the world and you rule it entirely, in totality. Now, this praise is only by Hashem. This is a praise that we can voice only by Hashem. Because only Hashem is Kodesh, is elevated, and can rule over everything. No other power can. The Maral writes that we find even Malochim, various angels, or even the Shadim, there are certain good angels in the world, there are certain evil angels in the world. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave power to evil Kechas also. Well, for example, we find many times in the Chumash it's mentioned the Sar, the angel of Esav, when Yaakov wrestled. So he wrestled with the angel of Esav. Or we find here that it states that they saw that the angel of Egypt was coming to fight for them. Even though there are powers in the world, but there is no power that can rule over everything. Because all of these powers are only part and parcel of the creation. At the end of last year, we were giving Shurim on Parshas Bereishis. And there we learned that the angels were part of the creation. On the first day, it states, Echad, Kodesh Baruch Hu was alone, but on the second day, the angels were created. So if they are part of the creation themselves, then they cannot rule everything in the creation. So therefore, this is a praise which is only possible by Hashem. This, he writes, is the reason we learned in the past Sedras when Moshe and Aaron came to execute the 10 plagues. The first two, which were the plague of striking the water to make it into blood,
Nile River, and then striking the water again in order that frogs should come. Those, the Hatume Parai, his sorcerers, were able to duplicate. So therefore they didn't pay much heed to it. But the third plague, which was the striking of the earth, the sand of the earth, the dust of the earth, and they brought forth kinim, lice. On this they said, Etz Belekim, it's the finger of Hashem. They weren't able to duplicate. So the Chazal, the sages, ask why. And there the answer is, and Rashi brings, because they were working with sorcery, with kishuf. The Ein Hashed Shelet Al Pachis Mikisaira. And these powers of sorcery, which are executed with the powers of evil powers in the world, devils, they have no ability over anything, no influence over anything which is smaller than the size of a barley. And the kinim, the vermin, the lice which was brought up, that's smaller than the size of a barley, and therefore they could not duplicate this. This is what the Chazal say. So why is that? So he explains as follows. Because they were given powers to influence only particular or various aspects of the creation, but not the creation in whole. Something, though, which is so small, which is less than the size of a barley, is considered something which is of no size whatsoever. It's interesting that the word barley in Loshon HaKodesh is seora. That's the same word as shiur. And shiur means something of a size. And that's because that anything that's a size of a barley is considered that it has a size. But anything that's less than the size of the barley is not considered as a shiur. It has no size. It's too small. If it's too small, it's not considered a dover. It's not considered something. It's a non-entity. If it's a non-entity, so then it blends into the entire world, to the entire creation. It doesn't have a shem bifnei atzma. It doesn't have its own entity, its own name. If the shadim, if the powers in the world can fall under the influences of various other powers, so this is only from a particular, an individual aspect. So therefore they must be something on their own. If they're so small, where they have no shiur, they have no size, so they're not considered an entity on their own. If they're not considered an entity on their own, they become a tofel, they become insignificant to the world in general. So who can have influence over that? Only someone who can have influence over the world in general. And that's not the shading, that's not the sorcerers. So this is why, when it came to the third marker of bringing up the lice and the vermin, this, they said, was Etzbashira, Lilakim. This was the finger of Hashem. They knew this was not sorcery. They could not duplicate it. She'ein ha-shashayid shaylet al-pochus mikitsa'orim. Because the shade, the sorcerers and the witchcraft cannot have an influence over something which is less than the size of a barley, which is the minimal size required in order that something should be considered as its own entity. So therefore, this praise, Neder Bakodesh, that you can rule over everything because of your Kedusha, this is only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why here? It's interesting, why here? Because all of the miracles that Hashem displayed in Egypt, that also was a miracle executed in a dimension of a particular perspective of the world, a particular aspect of the world. For example, he struck the Nile River, or he struck the sand in order that the lice should come out, or he brought in wild animals and so forth. But it was always from an aspect of a particular individual perspective. When it came to the sea, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu displayed more. That not only does he rule over all of the various levels of the world, or the various individual aspects of the world, but his Meshul Alakol, he rules over everything also. Because the sea is not considered an individual aspect. The sea is something which is all-encompassing. Like it states in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created as HaShomayim V'yasa Oretz V'yasa Yom. He created the heavens, that's all-encompassing. V'yasa Oretz, he created the earth V'yasa Yom, and he created the sea. So this was a different type of miracle. This wasn't a miracle. It would have been possible to say that there are certain forces in the world and each force has its domain. So, and this is what idolaters believed in. There was the god of the rivers, and there was the god of the trees, and the god of the winds, and so forth. So in Egypt, the Kodesh Baruch Hu showed that at every individual level, he could fight with Paroi, and he could succeed. But on the sea, he displayed more. That he rules not only over individual entities, but over all-encompassing entities. And that was the sea. And this is why also it explains to us that it states that the splitting of the sea by Boku Hamayim, the water split. Because I'll say, Le Nemar Hayam Ela Hamayim. It doesn't say the sea, it says the waters. Mikan Sheboku Kol Mayim Sheba'ilam. All of the waters in the world split. All of the waters, all of the rivers, they all split. Or for example, it states, Ayom rov ayonais, hayar deinisif laochar. The sea saw, and it ran back. And the Jordan saw, and also retreated. So the sages ask, all right, the Yam, he struck the Yam, so it ran back. But why the Jordan also? So it says, is it possible that you can defeat, or you can strike the mistress, the ruler, and the servant also should not be struck. The rivers are merely subservient to the sea. It states, Kol ha'necholim holchim al hayam. All of the rivers go into the sea. So therefore, when he struck the sea, everything in all of the waters in the world split. This incidentally explains something else to us also. Because a little later, in the Shira, in the song, it states, Shomu amim yugozum. All of the nations heard of the miracle, and they had great fear. How did they all hear? They weren't all at the Red Sea. So the answer is because they saw all of the waters in the world were split. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing that he rules over everything. And therefore, this particular praise was a praise which is a praise that was only by Hashem, and here in this place it is displayed. This also is why right at the splitting of the sea, the Torah tells us that Klal Yisrael saw the great hand, Hayad HaChazoka of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saw his great Hayad HaGdola, his great hand. While in Egypt it's only mentioned Etzpa Elokim, the finger of Hashem. Because since all of the plagues were only from a particular aspect, so that was like the finger of Hashem. But here that this was a plague which struck an entity in its entirety, so this was considered the hand. It's like the hand encompasses all of the fingers. Then the sentence continues. Micho mocha ba'ilim Hashem, micho mocha nedo ba'kodesh. Nora sihilais eise fele. Pella means wonders. You do wonders. You are awesome in your praises and you do wonders. Now here we understand why the word wonder is brought. Pella has a particular meaning. A pella niflaos, which means wonder. That is not just something great. No. It means something which has no explanation. Something which is unexplainable. Pella niflaos Nifla means something which we cannot explain. Many places we have similar words to Pella. And Rashi always brings something which is beyond us. A flaw. It's beyond us. This is what the word Pella means. Niflos. Now, accordingly, the word wonder, Pella them, cannot be said on the Maisi bin Odom. Cannot be said on the works of man. Because all of man's achievements can be explained. No matter what man does, the greatest achievements in technology, the greatest achievements in science, we can explain how it works. See, technically or scientifically, we can explain it. So then, strictly speaking, it's not a pillar. See, it's not something which is beyond us. But not so by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he makes miracles, we have no explanation how they work. For example, there is no way we can explain how the sea all of a sudden stood up and Klal Yisrael walked through on the dry land. This is a Pella. See, this is unexplainable. And therefore it's called Pella. Moshe said, Eise Pella. It's interesting to note that if we're looking for a ploim, if we're looking for such wonders, we don't have to go to the splitting of the Red Sea. We only have to look at all of the works of Hashem, because they are all wonders. What does it mean, a wonder? Something which is beyond us, which we cannot explain. And this is why the greatest wonder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is man, the creation of man. And doctors will tell you this. Medicine is a very, very old wisdom. Medicine has been studied since the creation of the world. We're talking now about 5,000 years. And with all of modern technology and all of the mass wisdom of medicine, which has been cataloged together, there's not a day that goes by that new discoveries are made. New discoveries are made and old principles are discarded. What does it show? It shows that constantly we are looking for explanations. Constantly we are seeking. And constantly we are lacking explanations in the human being. Take something simple, you don't have to study it for 5,000 years to find out how it works. And this is why in the Brocha, we have a Brocha which was made for the creation or the functioning of man. Asher yotzar es Adam b'chochma. You have created man with wisdom. And we ended by saying, Maflia lasos, that you do wonders, you execute wonders. This is the wonder of the human being. Because I'll tell us that one of the greatest wonders of the human being is the nutrition of the person. This, that he is able to eat and take in energy and live. Now, this is something that we take for granted very much. Every day we eat. Every day we eat apples, we eat oranges, we eat bread. And we don't consider it as a Kriyas Yam Suf. We don't consider it as a splitting of the Red Sea. But it is. This goes into the miracle of Panosu. Miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Panosu to the person. And the Gemara says it. The Gemara says, Godel Panosu ki Kriyas Yam Suf. Now this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds people, this is as great a miracle as the splitting of the Red Sea. First of all, that he's able to bring the proper food for every person, for every creation. But secondly is that how it can sustain a person. How this is able to sustain a person and how the body knows what to do with every particle of food, how to assimilate it in the body, and not only how it sustains a person physically, it sustains a person spiritually also. It becomes food both for his body and his soul, because we see they're intrinsically meshed together. If a person doesn't eat, So not only physically does he become weak, he becomes weak spiritually also. His mind, he cannot daven, he cannot learn Torah. If he'll starve himself sufficiently, he'll drive his soul out of the body. If he eats a good meal, so not only is it replenishment for his body, it's a replenishment for his soul also. So the Chazal tell us that the body knows how to take out the physical nutrients for the physical body and the spiritual nutrients in the food for the spirit of the man. And all of this is a pelasha, mafliya la'asos. This is one of the great wonders. What does wonder mean? Something which is inexplicable. We cannot explain. So that's why here, Meshach said, Eisefele. And he mentioned Nora Sihilois. You are fearful. Your praises, you're fearful in your praises. All right, the simple meaning is, as we're saying, that Nora Sihilois, that the praises of you are fearful, are awesome. Because we're speaking about someone who's Kodosh, someone who's beyond the world. Someone who's not part of the world. Someone who's not... The world is his place, but he is the place of the world. Then that he's dependent on the world, but the whole world is dependent on him. This is the simple meaning. Again, we said this is all relevant to what's going on today. If we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, so then... The war is no problem. It's no problem. Just as Sus Vareich by Rama Vayom, that he took Paray's choice armies, and the horse and its rider he cast into the sea, the same he would do with all of the Iraqi armies. He takes them all and casts them into the sea. And it states, Sus Vareich by Rama Vayom, Hakol Nechshav Leikisus Echot. All of the armies, all of the horses were considered like one to him. Same thing, all of the tanks and all of the airplanes are like one. If Hashem fights, then there's no problem. If Hashem doesn't fight for us, heaven forbid, then it's a very serious problem. Then it's a very, very serious problem. This is what he told Moshe by Egypt. He said, don't you worry. Atem tachrish, atachrush, tachrishut. You be silent. I will fight for you. I will fight your battles. If, heaven forbid, we have to fight alone, then we're dealing with what is probably the greatest confrontation of armor and modern technology warfare that the world has ever seen. So this is all very, very relevant of today. Rashi tells us another drosha in Nora Sihilos, which is very interesting. Rashi brings Nora Sihilos. You are awesome. Your praises are awesome. Kesha Yorui Melahagi Tilaisov. Penyimatu. One has to be afraid of praising you. Now this is something which is novel. We all know that we should praise Hashem. No, not so simple. Not so simple. We all know we're supposed to praise Hashem. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. And we say Be'ezres Hashem and Baruch Hashem. It's a mitzvah that it should be Shem Shamayim Al Piv, that a person should always be mentioning Hashem and praising Him. Not so simple. Just as it's a mitzvah to always praise Hashem, sometimes it's a mitzvah to be careful how you praise Hashem. You have to be afraid in praising Hashem. Rashi continues and says, because pen yimatu, because if you'll try to praise Hashem, maybe you won't praise him sufficiently. A praise is a description. Maybe it won't be a proper description. Kemesha Kosov, like David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Lecho Dumiyo Sihilo. For you, the greatest praise is silence. What does it mean? If you see a person, he makes a nice painting. You praise him. If you see a world master who creates a masterpiece, maybe it's best not to praise him. Are you capable of praising him? Maybe the best thing is silence. When you see someone who composes a beautiful symphony, you praise it. But you see a world masterpiece, are you capable of praising it? Maybe the best thing is to be silent. The Rabbi Yosef Leib, that tells the Rosh Yeshiva, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to say, he says, this is how he, one of the interpretations, he used to say, when David HaMelech said, Ma godlu ma'asecho Hashem, me'od omku makshveisecho, how great are your deeds, Hashem, how deep are your thoughts, ishba le'ido, uksile yavin ezeis. The barren person doesn't know this, and the fool doesn't understand it. So firstly they ask the question, here David HaMelech is saying it is so great, your acts are so great, and then he tells me that the idiot doesn't understand it. Even the wise man doesn't understand it. What does it mean that the idiot, the ishba le'edo, the fool doesn't understand it? So the simple meaning is, uksil yavin azayis, he doesn't even understand it's deep. In other words, you take a fool, and he comes up to a Rembrandt painting. So he equates it with all the cheap junk on the market. The same thing, he comes into a Beethoven symphony, and to him it's the same as all the junk that's on the radio. So Ksila Yamin Azais, he doesn't understand even that it's easy. He doesn't even understand Ma Godlu Masecho Hashem. This is what David HaMelech was saying. The wise man at least understands that he sees wisdom. The fool doesn't even understand that. But Rabbi Yosef Leib used to add something. He says, Uksil Yovin es Zeus. Zeus means where always you point with a finger and you say this. The fool doesn't understand this. He says, you bring a fool into a modern scientific plant and you see all kind of complexities. Well, today, really, he lived 100 years ago. Today, you bring him in and you see the massive computers and the modern complexities. And the wise man comes in and he looks and he's taken aback. The Ksil, the fool, comes in and he goes over to one aspect and he points to it and he says, I don't understand what this is. Ksil Yavin Azeis, I don't understand what this is. In other words, it implies that everything else he understands, but this bothers him. This is the fool. The wise man understands that I shouldn't even come close. I understand nothing of it. The fool comes and he says, this I don't understand. The same thing when we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not that we understand everything except this. We understand nothing of Hashem. Magodlu ma'asecho Hashem, how great are your acts. Me'eir onku makshveisecho, your thoughts are so deep that we understand none of it. Or we understand kitipa min hayam, we understand like one drop from the ocean. That has to be the approach to the person, of the person. So if that's the case, how can he praise Hashem? Who is he to praise Hashem? If you have a mighty, mighty king, so can a simple servant come and make praises to him? You have to be someone also at a level to praise someone. Kal v'chema, how much more so the Melech Malchei Amalochim, the king of all kings? And this is why the Gemara brings. The Gemara says that this that we say, we praise Hashem and say, Elokei Avraham, Vakel HaGodol V'HaKadosh. We say these praises that Hashem is great, He's holy, and so forth and so on. It states, Il Mole, had Mesha not said them, we wouldn't be allowed to say them. We only say what Mesha said. It brings a case where someone was adding more praises, So they criticize the person. Who are you to add more praises? Why? Because when you praise, so it's like you're giving a description. Are you capable of giving a description to Hashem? And this is what the Pasuk says, Mi yemalel gvuras Hashem. Who can voice the strength of Hashem? Yashmiu kol tehilosai. Yashmiu kol tehilosai. Who can let be heard all of his praises? The Maral explains at the beginning of Gvuras Hashem. He says, one part of the Pasuk is referring to the qualities of Hashem and the other is referring to the quantity. Who can make mention of all of the qualities of Hashem? And who can make mention of all of the quantities of Hashem? Yashmiya kolti hilaisov. And therefore it's better to be silent than give a false description, than give a half a praise. So this is why that when we come to praise Hashem, we have to be careful. Just like it's a mitzvah. The Gemara says it's a mitzvah to praise Hashem every day. The Gemara says that Chayv Odom Levorech Mea Brochas B'chol Yom, that a person should praise Hashem 100 times every day, make 100 brochas every day. As it states, Kol HaNeshama Tehallel Ko, with all of your soul you shall praise Hashem, and they dash in Bechol Neshima Uneshima, on every breath of life you really should have praised Hashem. And the Rambam brings that a person is obligated to praise Hashem Bechol Keche, with all of his energy he should praise Hashem. But still at the same time we have to be careful also. When you approach this, you have to approach it both with the great desire to praise Hashem and at the same time with the apprehension of, am I capable of speaking about Hashem? Am I capable of praising Hashem? What I'm saying, is it just like a parrot who's just talking? Is it just superficial and shallow? And this is what it means, Nora Sihilois, that when it comes to your Tihilois, when it comes to his praise, one must be Nora, one must be full of fear. Sometimes the best praise for Hashem is silence. That the greatest praise is silence. It's interesting, the Guraye asks a good question. Parshas told us when Yitzchak Avinu he said that the day of his death is approaching and he wants to bless, give over the brachos. So he wants to bless Esav, because Esav was the one that he felt was the chosen one to carry on the tradition of Avraham and Yitzchak. He felt Esav was a greater tzaddik, a greater righteous person than Yaakov. So he says he wants to bless Esav. So he says, go out and hunt for me and bring me food that I can eat, and then I will bless you. So Rivka came to save the day. She called in right away Yaakov, and she said what your father wants to do, and this would be a tragedy, an enormous, enormous tragedy. So she said, come, I'll dress you up as Esav, and here are some goats, and I'll prepare them, and you go, and you tell your father that you're Esav, and you've come for the brachos. So he did this. See, Yaakov comes and he says, Anochi Esav b'cheirecho, I am Esav, your firstborn, and I've come with food for you. So Yitzchok said to his son, Mazeh mihata limse b'ni. How is it that you went and you caught the deer, you went and hunted and you were so successful so quickly? So Yaakov praised Hashem. He says, Hikra Hashem alakecha lefonai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it where I should find something immediately. Then Yitzchok said, come close to me that I may touch you. And if I can tell that It's you are Esav or not. So Yitzchok suspected.
Because why should he say, come close and let me feel if you're Esav or not?
So he suspected him. Why did he suspect him? Why did he suspect him? And especially right now. Just before he didn't suspect him. When he came, so he says,
he was blind, so he says, who is it?
So he says, I'm Esav, your son, and I brought you food. So then he didn't suspect him. So Rashi brings, Oma Yitzchak Belibay, Ein derech Esav li Hashem Shemayim Shogar Bepiv. V'zeh Omar ki hikra Hashem Elokecha. When Yaakov said, when he asked Yaakov, why have you returned so quickly with the food? And Yaakov answered, ki hikra Hashem Elokecha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it easy for me to catch food right away, to catch the hunt right away. Then Yitzchak suspected. He said, Esav doesn't speak about Hashem so much. You don't see Hashem's name on Esav's mouth so often. Why is he mentioning Hashem's name? So then he had a suspicion. He had a suspicion that maybe this is not Esav. Maybe this is not Esav. So what did he do? He said, come close so I can touch you, and I'll see if you are Esav or not. This is what the Chazal tell us. So the Gurayi, the Maral, asked a very good question. He says, if Yaakov was Shogar Shem Shemayim Befiv, he was mentioning Hashem's name all of the time. He was saying, thank God, and Baruch Hashem, and so forth and so on. And if Esav wasn't, and Esav was not, so then why did Yitzchok think that Esav was the tzaddik and Yaakov was not? He had one son that was always thanking Hashem. He had another son that never thought thanked Hashem. Ein shem shemayim shogav al piv. He never thanked Hashem. So much so that when this one thanked Hashem, this created a suspicion by Yitzchak that maybe this is not Esav. If that's the case, so then why did Yitzchak always think that Esav was the tzaddik and Yaakov was not? Yaakov was always thanking Hashem and Esav was not. It's a good question, very good kasha. So then he says a good answer. He says because he thought that the reason why Esav was not always thanking Hashem, because he was afraid to appraise Hashem. Because of Neder Sihilais. And especially that was Yitzchok's own quality. Yitzchok was the Amura Yira. Yitzchok was Yira. Yitzchok always was the pillar of the fear of Hashem. He says someone who has a great fear of Hashem, he's very careful to praise Hashem. He's Bemayat. Very careful he is to praise Hashem. Why? Who am I to praise Hashem? Who am I to speak of the Melech Malchei Melochim, the King of all kings? What is it? It becomes a household word where I constantly use it. Who am I to say praises on Hashem? Maybe I'll be b'mayet b'tishpoches, like the Gemara says. Then maybe you'll praise him incorrectly. And that's Nora Sihilais when you come. To praise Hashem, it has to be with a fear. This is how Yitzchak had read into Esav. That the reason why Esav never mentioned Hashem because of the quality of Yira. And therefore he held that was no problem. That because of that was no obstacle, that was no contradiction, that Esav could not have been the great righteous person. So therefore now that he asked, how come you came back with the hunt from the hunt so quickly? And immediately he answered, "Ki yikra Hashem elokecha lefonai." He said, "Thank God, a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me hunt right away." So Esav immediately had a question. He says, "Shem Shemayim Shogar Al Piv Ainze Esav." Yitzchok had a question. He says, "This doesn't sound like Esav." So therefore he said, "Gishono, come close, Vamushko, and I will touch you to find out if it's you or not." So this is what is meant in Neira Sihila is Esefela, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is, and it all ties in. See? You are a Kodosh, you are beyond us, you are completely beyond us, and because of that you can rule over everything, and because of that is Neira Sihila is, when we come to praise you, the person must go to praise Hashem accordingly to understand what he's approaching.
Then the following pasuk. The following pasuk states, "Notiso yemincha tivla ema oritz." HaKadosh Baruch Hu bends his hand. He bends his right hand. Tivla ema oritz, and the earth swallows them up. It's all he has to do is bend his hand, and the earth swallows them up. What does this mean? Notisa, you stretched out your right hand. Notisa comes from the word nata. You just bend, you turn your hand, and the earth swallows them up. So Rashi says, Kshakorish bochu nata yodei. When Hashem turns his hand, Harishoim kalim v'neflim. The Rishoim, the evil, they fall by themselves. They are destroyed by themselves. The fish are called nosen biyodei, because everything is put into his hand, and therefore, if he turns his hand, they automatically fall. He says a marshal, an example. The klishchukis and the sunim biyado the matiyore meat vehinayfli mishtabrei. He says if you're holding some glass vessels, glass utensils in your hand, turn your hand a little, and they break. You don't have to break them. As all you have to do is turn your hand a little, and they fall, and they break. So therefore, Natisa Yemincha, he turns his right hand, Tivlo Emo Oretz, and the earth swallows them up. Now this goes, the Maral brings, this goes hand in hand in what we were speaking about in the first Pasuk. First Pasuk, we mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kodesh. He is above and beyond the world. Therefore, he rules over everything. He's not part of the world. The world is part of him. And he is the place of the world. Not that the world is his place. So this means he holds the world on his hand. If he would turn his hand, the world could fall. So he holds everyone's life in his hand. And when it comes to the Rishoim, he doesn't have to destroy them. It's all he has to do is notisa yumincha. It's all he has to do is turn his hand. Tivlo ema oretz, and the earth swallows them up. Why Yemincha? It says he turns his right hand. Because Yemincha always, Yemin always represents something which is right, something which is Yosha, upright. When people walk upright, then he supports them. But when they veer away from the straight path, then he does not support them anymore. And he turns his hand, he takes his hand away. And then they've made full of audits. They fall to the earth. So two things are mentioned in these psukim. One is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does actively, and the other is what he does passively. What he does actively, that's the Micha Malcha. He comes and he rules over the whole world. For example, like we saw, that he takes the whole sea and he dries it up. This is what he does actively. When he wants to make miracles, he does this actively. When he wants to destroy the evil, this he does passively. He doesn't have to do it actively. He doesn't have to destroy them. That's all he has to do is withdraw his hand from them. And then they fall. They fall and they become broken. Netisa yemincha, and they fall. Now it states tivla ema oretz. The earth swallows them up. According to the simple meaning, this goes. This is a punishment. He takes his hand away, and the earth swallows them up. Actually, it's not. It should have been that he takes his hand away, v'neflim la'oretz, and immediately they fall to the earth. This that it states tivla ema oretz, that the earth swallowed them up, actually that was not a punishment. That was a reward. And Rashi brings what was the reward? This is a chesed. This is a kindliness of Hashem. Tivla ema oretz. Rashi says, Mikan shezoche l'kfura b'scha sho'omru Hashem hatzadik. They were buried. Really, he should have merely taken his hand away and they would have fallen to the earth and stayed there. But Hashem gave them a reward. Tivla ema oretz, the earth swallowed them up. He gave them kfura. He gave them burial. And burial is a reward. Why did he do this? Because they did something good.
They said, Pare said, Hashem HaTzadik. There was a point when he admitted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is righteous. Where did he do this? This was at the end of Parshas. No, this was at the end of Parshas Va'era. When it came to the plague of the Borot, of the hail, then tremendous size hail came down. And there were keles, there was thunder, and there was lightning, and the noise was deafening. It was heavy artillery. So Vayishlach Pare, this is in Posachov Zayin, Shmeis Tes Posachov Zayin, Vayishlach Pare, Vayikra Lemeshel Arim. So Pare went and he called to Meshel Arim. Vayim Alehem, and he said, Chotosi Apoam, I have sinned this time. Hashem HaTzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the righteous, Va'ani Va'ami HaRashoim, and I and my nation, we are Rashoim. This was, he submitted, and he said, Hashem HaTzadik. Bishar Zeh, with this reward, they were given kfura. From here we see what the Chazal tell us, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach schar shel shum beria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not withhold reward from anyone. It could be the greatest evil person, but he does a good thing, he has to get paid for it. This is a chayk bibriya. This is a statute in the creation that every good act must be paid for and every evil act must be paid for. And therefore, even by the greatest Rishoyim, we find it consistently. There were certain kings. We find that there was one king who had a descendant, Rus, who from her was to come David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, King David and King Solomon. And why? So the Gemara brings, they did good deeds. One stood up for Hashem, another sacrifices to him. A good deed, even from the most evil person, we might wipe it off. Hashem doesn't eradicate it. It's not cancelled out. Everything must be paid for. From here we see also every evil deed. People always speak about why are you so obsessed with Nazi atrocities? All what's going on today, every deed will be paid for. There won't be one deed that will be forgotten. Millions and millions and millions of evil deeds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give retribution for everyone. This is a chayk b'briya. This is a statute that he has made in the creation. So here Parai said, Hashem HaTzadik, Chotosi HaPoam, I have sinned, Hashem HaTzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the righteous, Vani V'am Yerushoyim, and I and my nation are Rishoyim. So this was a good act. So they had to be paid. So therefore, instead of the notisim mincho, the neiflim ala oretz, that Hashem takes away his hand and they fall to the earth, tivlo emoho oretz. He had the earth swallow them up, and they were given kfura. They were given burial. What does one thing have to do with the other? Why? Because of that they were given burial? Perhaps the reason could be this. The reason of burial is mishum kovet, is because of honor. That's what the Torah tells us. The Torah says when you hang someone, you're not allowed to leave him like that. But you must take him down and bury him. Because it's a shame. It's a shame to the person, it's a shame to the human being, it's a shame to the creation of Hashem, to the Tzelem Elokim, to the image of Hashem. And therefore, the Mora says, how much more so if it's someone who's not Neharugi Bezdin, that is speaking about that the courts had to put to death, how much more so others. So therefore, Kfura is considered a kovet, an honor for a person. And the Maral explains why. Because it's a kisui, it's a garment. Just like a garment is considered an honor for a person. The Mora says garments are an honor for a person. So is it when the earth covers a person. It covers the body. That's an honor for the person. For a person to be left uncovered, this is a disgrace. Incidentally, we find that the children of Yefes were given the schus of kfura in Eretz Yisrael. They were given the schus of kfura, and it's brought why? Because they went and covered up their father Noach in the tent. See, when he was lying naked in the tent, they went and they covered him up. So because they covered him up, they also received an honor. So perhaps this is the reason here. Paro had insulted Hashem. He insulted and cursed Hashem. But Moshe came to him and he said, Mi Hashem, who is this God that I should listen to his voice? No, I will not listen to him. And this was a public insult that went through the world, because Pare was the great monarch and all of his nation followed him. So he had publicly insulted the Shem Hashem. This was a Chil Hashem. Now the fact that Pare publicly admitted Hashem HaTzadik, and the whole nation heard this. Not only that, it was written in the Torah forever. See, that Pare was Hashem HaTzadik. So now he's turning around and he's retracting that disgrace. He's giving honor to Hashem. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, he's giving honor to me, I have to give honor back to him. Therefore, Zoch L'Kfura, they were Zeche to burial. So this is the interpretation of these two psukim. Micho Mocho Bo'elim Hashem, who is as strong as you, Hashem? Elim had the interpret. Firstly, it means strong, and secondly, we brought from the Gemara, it means who can remain silent in the eyes of abuse, where the Rishoyim abuse and insult Hashem, and still he remains silent. Miko Mocha Neder Bakodesh, and who is like you, who is so glorious and mighty in your Kedusha and your sanctity? And that's the greatness of Hashem, because he is sanctified, he's beyond all of us. And therefore, Eisefela, therefore he can do wonders. He can rule over everything, like he ruled over all of the waters, in all of the world. Not like an individual that cannot. Some people he can be victorious over, but everyone he cannot. This is the wonder. A wonder is something which we cannot explain, which is beyond us. And Nora Sihilos, and your praises are awesome because of your greatness. And also, when one comes to praise Hashem, he has to be afraid. Even though it's a great mitzvah to praise Hashem, but he also has to be afraid when he praises Hashem. Is he capable? Is he doing it properly? And then the Kiso Yemincha, when it comes to destroying the Rishoyim, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have to destroy them. Because all he has to do is turn his hand. He withdraws his hand, because they're all in his hand. And they fall immediately into the earth. Tivla Emoretz, the earth swallowed them up. That was a chesed. See, that was a kindliness he did for them. This is the interpretation of these two psukim. We should be zeicher in this time of great need. It's a time, it's an eis sora le'Yaakov. It's a very, very time of great need for Klal Yisrael. The world is engaged today in one of the greatest confrontations of modern history. And it's awesome. It is awesome of the arsenal of weapons that the nations have. The Allied forces have flown 10,000 missions. 10,000 missions. Carrying heavy artillery over Iraq. And there still seems to be left what to bomb. And we're talking here now, we're not talking about a war 40, 50, 60 years ago, when technology was far, far behind of what it is today. We're talking about such precision made instruments of war that from miles and miles away, within an inch or within a foot or a meter, they meet their destination. And still after 10,000 missions, nobody is talking about the war being over. The fact is that I was reading an article in Time magazine from a week ago. It's interesting that sometimes you'll have more insight when you read old news reports than the new news reports, because you see all the mistakes they made. The same thing, if you want to learn, read the old forecasts, not the new forecasts. The new forecasts mean very little. When they forecast whether gold will go up or down or this or that, that's not so important. Read the old forecasts and you'll see where they go wrong. A person can learn more from his mistakes than from his predictions. That's how a child learns. A child learns how to walk from his mistakes, not from his predictions. So I was reading that magazine, and this article was written a day or two before the UN deadline. And in it they write that they didn't. It's not official statements from the high command of the Allied forces, but it's from military analysts, and they write where most military analysts feel that the knockout punch will be delivered in 1 or 2 days. This is what Time magazine wrote 1 week ago. So 1 week ago. It's in our fast society, we forget what was written yesterday. 1 week ago. They write where most military analysts feel that the knockout punch will be delivered in 1 or 2 days. Well, 1 or 2 days went by. 2,000 bombing missions. 3,000 bombing missions. 7,000 bombing missions. 10,000 bombing missions. Then 2 days ago, a statement came out from the high command that the bombing will continue until February. Now, originally, they said that the ground confrontation will be much more difficult and much longer than the air confrontation. If the bombing is to continue to February, which means over 2 weeks, so then how long will the ground confrontation take? That was 2 days ago. Yesterday there was a report in the paper of 80 days. This came from Washington. Again, I don't know the confirmation of these, but it was a report from Washington, 80 days. Today there was a report in the paper, 6 months. Some are predicting 6 months. Whether it will be a matter of days or months, first of all, we see there's great confusion. Great confusion. And secondly, maybe it'll be days, maybe it'll be months. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. But one thing we have clear, it's a war. It's a full-scale war. They've already used up billions of dollars worth of armor, worth of artillery, and who knows, maybe millions of pounds worth of it. In 10,000 missions. So this is no joking matter. And Eretz Yisrael is right in the middle of it. So this is a great ace sort of, this is a great time of need for Klal Yisrael. Where we need the Melchamos Hashem, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters, then it's no problem. But we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our side. And for this, we need Zchuyos. For this, we need great Zchuyos. When they came to the Yam Suf, and Moshe started to be mispalel to Hashem, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, what are you being mispalel for? Go across the sea. So Moshe said, how do I know the sea will split? So he says, Kedai, the schus of Avram Yitzchok v'Yaakov, and the schus of the Amunah of Klal Yisrael. He says, no, it won't simply split. It will split because of the great schuyas, because of the great merits of Klal Yisrael. But by itself it's not going to split. It's split because of the schus of the Oves, or the schus, the great schus of the Amunah, of the faith that Klal Yisrael has in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but for this we need great schuyas. It's only through great mitzvahs, the great merit of Klal Yisrael. But this doesn't come by itself. Therefore, this is a time when all of Israel has to be mechazik, has to strengthen their hand in Torah and in mitzvahs, in tshuva, in tefillah, in stokah, in order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be notisa yemincho and tibloim oretz, where he will turn his hand, take his hand, v'heim kalim me'aleihem, and they will be destroyed by himself. We should be zeichah to see the great Yeshuas Hashem and Hatzolah of Klal Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085 and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.